and then go ahead. Okay. Where are we going to be tonight? Five. John chapter 6. Yeah. John chapter 6 is a long chapter. We got 71 verses. Yep. Okay. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And when Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down now where there was much grass in the place." So the men sat down in a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein two his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after the Lord had given thanks. Excuse me. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures into everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for him has God the Father sealed." Then said they to him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe you? What doest thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then said they to him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Excuse me. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, Does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? Okay. Let's take a look at it and see what we got to say in it now. Because anybody can read the words. Okay? Now we have to know what the Spirit is telling us about these things. Jesus had just finished up in chapter 5, and the last verse, the last two verses, let's look at the last three verses to tie it back in together. Verse 45 of chapter 5 says, Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Moses is symbolic and representative of what? The law. So the thing that's going to accuse you is the law. When you say Moses here, he's talking of the law. Okay? And the law is what accuses you, in whom you trust. And what were the Jewish people trusting in? The law. See? The do's and don't do's, the do-do, right? Okay? For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote concerning me. Now, don't you think they thought he was arrogant? He's telling them that their great idol, Moses, was writing of him, and they could not understand that. Verse 47, he says, "But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Moses was saying, "I'm telling you shadows and types." And Jesus comes along and says, "Now I'm telling you the reality of it. If you can't believe the shadows and types, how in God's name are you going to believe the reality of it?" That's what Jesus is saying. See? And everybody's still wanting to live in the shadows and types. Shadows and types are wonderful. They're beautiful. They reveal so much to us. But the reality of the thing is it's inside of us now. We don't have to wait any longer for this thing. I don't have to wait for peace in my life, do I? It's here now. When Jesus left, he said, "My peace I leave to you." Hello, what do you got? I got peace. You know why? Because he said I had it. He said I had it. Wasn't something I said. That's his idea. It's his plan and purpose. Going to go through a lot of stuff, but guess what? There's going to be peace in the midst of it. Doesn't make any difference what goes on in circumstances, right? Okay, now after he said these things, it comes into chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. What's the Galilee? The heathen circle. He went over the Sea of the Heathens, okay? The humanity of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, right? Does anybody know what Tiberias means? The river god. What did they worship? The river. See? Mm-hmm. The Tiber River, T-I-B-E-R. So they were calling it the Tiberias, which is the river itself. But see, they worshiped. And Paul dealt with this in his writings and said, in Romans, said they worshiped the creation more than the creature rather than the creator. And they worshiped the creation and the creatures more than the creator. And there's the problem, see. I don't worship God by worshiping a deer or a bear or a duck or a cow or all these things that a lot of religions do. And God never told us to worship those things. Those are things that he gave us to control over. Did he not? He gave us dominion over all the earth and all the beasts of the earth. Those are things that are here for use, for our purpose, to survive in this world. I don't think we should mistreat our animals. I think we should take care of them. But they should not be idols. Okay? And now how did I get there? I don't know. Just said it. Okay, so they went over the river god, and it's what it's saying is really people are worshiping all kinds of things, right? And a great multitude followed him. They didn't follow him for the right reason. Look what he says. Because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. See? Somebody being healed is not going to change my mind. The only thing that's going to change my mind or your mind is hearing the word of God. True or false? Right? Now, is it hearing the word of God through somebody like me standing here preaching to you? See, it's you hearing the Spirit of God speaking in you as I speak. See, you should be hearing the witness of what I'm saying as a reality or reject it. One or the other, right? It's either true or false. So it's about hearing the truth going on in us. When I was in the church world, I used to sit and my wife would sit beside me and she'd get on me all the time because I'd be sitting there going, you know, digging through the pages. God would be speaking something inside of me and it had nothing to do with what that man or woman was saying up there in that podium. I was hearing God speak in my heart. So I had to go see what he was talking to me. And it's a joke now. She'd say, "Shh, he's preaching." I said, "Shh, God's talking to me. I'm not concerned about what that person says. I need to hear God speak." And many times this man or woman would be speaking and what they would say would trigger something. It had nothing to do with what they were talking about. And it has nothing to do with them being anointed or anything else. Your ability to hear God comes from you having ears to hear. True or false? See? It's not about how good a preacher somebody is. Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? How many times does the book say, "Blessed is they that hear what the Spirit's saying"? See, most people don't have the ears to hear. They got little protrusions on the side of their head, but they don't have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. If we don't get there, all this is just a history book. It's just something somebody wrote a long time ago. There's no life in it. And I think you've said very clearly, I am that bread that came down. I am that life. Okay? So we got to watch what we're doing. We got to understand why we respond in the ways we respond. When you hear something, you should not respond by what I say. You should respond to what you hear when I speak. What is God doing inside of you as I speak? When this is the gift of God. When on the day of Pentecost, when Peter rose up to speak, what happened? There was 18 different nations represented, 18 different languages, and he spoke in one, but 18 heard him in their own native tongue. There's what God does. See, I can speak to people in all levels, but guess what? You got to hear. There's the miracle, was the hearing of all those different languages and all that ability by the Spirit to speak one thing and be heard in 18 different languages. There's the miracle. It's no different today. There's only one Spirit speaking, and when that Spirit of God speaks, the only thing you've got to have is ears to hear what He says. If you have those ears, you're blessed, according to Scriptures. You're blessed, and you can hear what He says. These people weren't there for that reason. They went for the miracles only. If you look in Matthew 24, I think it's verse 24, and Revelation 13, there's another verse in there, and it's somewhere around 13, 14, 15 verse, something like that. And it says the same thing, that they would be deceived by signs, wonders, and miracles. Tell me what the church world is looking for today. Signs, wonders. What did this man right here say? Show us a sign that we can believe you. Okay. Scripture says this. The Bible says this. I'll say it that way. The Bible says this. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. I don't need any signs. Don't need it. You know why? Because I am a sign. I am a sign. You are a sign. We're a sign to our generation. See? Whether they see it or not, it's none of my choice. It's not my choice.
All religions are based on something.
Sure. I'm basing my relationship with God not on somebody's prophecy or something, but on the reality of what's done in my life.
The signs can also come as
sure.
A witness. Like a witness for you to carry on with your faith.
Sure. But I don't make but I don't base my reality on that.
No.
And that's, signs are wonderful. I've seen signs, I've seen lots of things. I've seen wonderful miracles. But that's not the foundation, because those things deal with you in the soulish realm, not in the spirit realm. It's okay. God gives us those toys to play with for a season. Jesus said it this way, in the first day, and today and tomorrow I do the cures and miracles. I do miracles and cures. And in the third day, I'll be perfected. See, in the first two realms of the church world, the Passover and Pentecost realms, the first two covenants, we have miracles and cures. Another place, Jesus said that healing was the children's bread. Hello. What's the healing for? Children. Not mature. Children. See, they need those signs, wonders, and miracles to keep them going. And that's okay for a season, but somewhere you got to grow up, get some teeth, and start chewing on a steak yourself instead of somebody feeding you milk. Okay? In verse 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And when Jesus was lift up his eyes, and saw a great company come to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, or from where shall we, from what source, is what it should say. The word whence should mean, from what source shall we buy or get bread in order that these may eat? From what source are we going to get all this stuff? Okay? It didn't say from whence or from where, it says from what source. And he said this to test him. What he was trying to say to Philip was, and Philip's name means what? Lover of horses, lover of flesh. lover of humanity. Okay? So he's talking to a man who is still yet a little fleshly. How's that? And he said, where are we going to, from what source are we going to feed all these 5,000 people? Now, you know, today it would be a trouble to get food to feed 5,000, even with Kroger's over on the corner. Right? He's saying, what's our source to feed all these people? What'd he say? Well, if we went and bought 200 penny worth of bread, he says, because he knew what he would do, Philip responded to him, 200 denarii is what it should read, or 200 days wages. Denarii is a day's wages. 200 days wages of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little bit. He's saying what it would take for 200 days of labor's wages to buy the bread for just to feed that one group wouldn't even give them just a little bit. So what he's trying to say is, look, Philip, you're looking at the wrong source. You're looking with your natural eyes at a source that is provided by humanity. Where is your source? Where is our source supposed to be? It's to be in Christ. Okay? And does it say that he supplied all our needs according to his riches? In Christ Jesus. Okay? He's looking wrong. Instead of looking to the Spirit of God, his Father, as a supply, he knew where Philip was at. He knew he was looking at something the wrong way. Do you know we all have needs? We all have needs to be supplied. But if we're looking to ourself to get this supply met, we've missed the picture. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you. Come on. He said, your Father knows what you have need of. If he supplied it for all the Gentiles, don't you think he'll give it to you, the sons of God? But see, the sons of God are the ones who have no faith. The ones who say, oh, we're Christian people, and they have the least faith of anybody ever seen. I see people on the street, homeless people, people that wouldn't go to a church if you paid them, and they have more faith in God supplying their needs than the church folk does. That's amazing to me. And you know, the street people aren't even reading this. Church folk are. But see, their minds are so shut off and shielded because someone told them what it said, they never use that gray matter between their ears for their own process. They listen to somebody. They memorize and regurgitate what someone said. I hope nobody ever tries to do that with what I say. Because if you memorize what I say and regurgitate it, there's no life in it. The only way it's life to you is when you get a hold of it. You got to eat it yourself. Okay? Oh, where am I at? Down to 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, and his name means manly, Simon Peter's brother, and Simon Peter was Peter's Passover and Pentecostal names, said to him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? What do you think it's talking about here now? Look what he says. There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves. What would that mean? 5. Well, now 5 can mean several things. Is it positive? Is it negative? Okay. Is it spiritual? Is it natural? Which one is this? 5 can mean grace, but 5 can also mean death. Why? How many wounds was in his body? 5, okay? So it depends on the context here. And here is something that we're looking at in kind of a natural way, aren't we? But barley represents what? Huh? Pentecost. Barley represents Pentecost. So you got barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What's the 2? It's a witness of the grace or the death of, you know, that's coming around. It's simple because he's going to break this 5 loaves for what? To feed the multitude. He said it's my flesh that has come to give, right? What do you think the bread he's talking about here really goes to? His flesh that's going to be broken. You know, in Ephesians 4:11 said there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They're gifts given unto men, given to the body of Christ. It's 5, not 5 governmental positions like a lot of people want to say it, and I've been guilty of saying it, but it's 5 functions of a man of, or woman of God. And I think you can function in all five of them whenever God wants you to be there. It's not like I'm an apostle like everybody runs around. I'm a prophet. I'm a this. I'm a that. You know, it's we're children of God working in whatever function he wants us to be in. But we're gifts for the body. It's his will be done, not what I want to do. See what I'm going to get again. Yeah, I'm in verse 9 yet. But there's five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they amongst so many? Let me take you to a scripture in Numbers chapter 13, verse 18. Numbers 13:18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 13, verse 18. Is that what I got down? Is it Numbers 13:18? Let me read 17 to get the context. And Moses sent them out to spy the land, and said unto them, get you into the way into the southward up to the mountain, and see the land, that it, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And I must have missed that verse when I wrote it down. Why did I do that for? I missed it for some reason. It don't fit, and I don't know why. I wrote it in the wrong place or something. Oh well, we'll skip that one. Go on to 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down, now there was much grass in this place. What's the word grass? What's it mean? Peter says this way, 1 Peter 1:24, all flesh is grass. So what's he saying was in this place they were sitting down? A lot of flesh sitting down here. He wasn't talking about the spirit of people, was he? He's talking about the flesh. There's a lot of flesh. You can find it in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6. You can find it in Psalm 103:15 or in 1 Peter 1:24, that all grass is flesh. So the men sat down, and there was about 5,000 of them there, okay? Five could be death, couldn't it? A lot of flesh and a lot of death sitting there. But Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Notice who he gave it to. Who does the word go to? To discipline people. John 8:31-32 says this, if you continue in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now what makes you free, Ed? Nope. The truth you know. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And it should say this, and that truth you know makes you freedom.
Back up there, and giving thanks, what does that mean?
He was saying grace over it, just like blessing the food when he gave thanks. He blessed the food. He said a blessing over it. That's all it is. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they desired. But look at the pattern. That's what I'm trying to show you. It's not for everybody to understand this right now. Do you understand that? Everybody in this world does not understand these scriptures. You can't just pick up and read these things, because there is a language of the kingdom that you must know. If you go to Russia, what do you have to speak to communicate with these people? A Russian language. If you go to Germany, you need to speak German. If you go to Japan, you need to learn to speak Japanese or Chinese for China, right? So if we are children of God and living in the kingdom of God, to communicate in this kingdom, what language must we speak? Kingdom language. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about speaking spiritual truths. And there's the problem. I speak spiritual truths and people look at me like cross-eyed, like I'm talking in some foreign language. I'm talking about supposedly preachers. They look at me cross-eyed and they don't even know what I'm talking about. They're just blank. There's nothing there. You look in their eyes, nobody's home. See, because they don't even know the language of the kingdom. I can talk to somebody about that long and tell you if they truly know the kingdom and the king themselves, or if they're just talking about something someone told them, because they don't know. Their language just gives them away. Remember how Peter was betrayed when he went to the house there tonight when he was going to crucify Jesus? How was Peter betrayed? Anybody remember how he was betrayed, who he was? There was a woman came up and said, "You have the speech like one of those, just like him. You're a Nazarene, just like him." By what he said, wasn't he? He was betrayed by his speech. You think anybody else isn't getting betrayed by their speech? Most people think they're snowballing you, they're smoking you, and they're saying all these things they think are spiritual, but they're being betrayed by their words. Not a problem, except for the ones that's trying to play the game. Okay? Verse 12, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments or the remnants." Now, notice what the disciples do. They only gather what? Remnants. The word should be remnant. They only gather the remnants in order that all the ones that remain, all the fragments that remain, in order that nothing be lost. I see reconciliation. What got left behind? Nothing. Nothing. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves that remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now notice, he didn't say anything about the fish. All he saved was the 12 loaves. You know how many loaves was in the tabernacle? 12 loaves on the table, showbread. 12. It speaks of the government of God. He's saying the ones of God will be gathered, and they're going to be gathered up first. That's all. He's telling you about the first fruits, which remained over above to them which had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth," or "This truly is the prophet that should come to the world." Now, what did it take to make them see it? They had to see a miracle. They had to see a sign. But you know what? Jesus said this statement, "Blessed are they who don't see and yet believe." Which one do you want to be? You want a sign or you want to believe what he said? Because that's the ones he said are blessed. I'm not concerned with what I see. You know why? Because my eyes can deceive me. Anytime you want to be deceived, just let your mind take a run for a while. Let your cherubim begin to work in your mind. And you know what? You'll see anything you want to see. Can't you? Just let them go. Don't put the word in there for a while and see what happens. Them cherubim will take off and run like you wouldn't believe. When Jesus therefore knew that they were about to come and take him, the word "would" is they were about to come and take him, and the "by force" isn't there. Those are added words. To make him a king, he withdrew himself, not departed, he withdrew himself again to the mountain alone. Like he got away from him. He didn't want to hook up with that flesh either. He might in the right mind and get away from all that. Because it wasn't Father's will. Everybody needs to get alone once in a while. And when evening was come, not now, but when evening was come, what is evening? Time of darkness? Huh? The time of ignorance? Darkness is ignorance. Darkness of the mind is the time of ignorance. And his disciples went down to where? Toward the sea. So where were they going? Down. It wasn't up or any other way. It was going down to what? What does the sea represent? The multitudes of humanity, so they were going back to humanity, weren't they? Their minds still weren't in the heavens. They were still thinking about humanity. And they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward where? What's the word Capernaum mean? It has two meanings, comfort or repentance. Now, which one do you think it is? Well, the sort of time they're looking for comfort. And sometimes it's repentance. We have to see which context it is. Here, I think it is comfort. They're looking for, when you go to humanity, you're looking for one thing, comfort. Okay? And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Hello? Jesus said, I am the light. So if he's not there, guess what? It's dark and they are what? Ignorant. The going on the water after dark isn't real smart anyway. Yeah. Okay? And the sea arose, literally was agitated by a great wind that blew. I wonder what wind that might be. The Spirit of God blowing. See, there's the wind agitating humanity. And that's all it is agitating humanity. Okay? And the sea arose by reason of the Holy Spirit that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20, that's 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus. Now, I think this is amazing. When they went between 25 and 30 furlongs, and furlongs is 600 feet.
3 or 4 miles.
Well, a furlong here, it says 600 feet. Whatever, I never figured the footage out, but it's 25 to 30 times 600, whatever it is. Okay? And, get back where I'm at. And they see Jesus walking on the sea. Now, they went between 25 and 30. My board's covered. Everybody got this off here they want it? I need the board. What in the world happened there? Show you something here if it's still working. 10, 20, 30. Okay? And he said between 25 and 30, right? If we look at this in threes, as God does everything in threes, three covenants, 3 days, 1 day, 2 day, and right before they got to the third day. Okay? Right before they got to that third round, third covenant, whichever way you want to see it, okay? When they got there, what happened? When they got to that place, they saw him. Hello? Didn't he say that? They saw Jesus walking on humanity, walking above it. To walk on something means you're walking on top of it. Okay? They saw him as superior to humanity. So right here, coming into this third covenant is when you're really going to see him for who he is. Okay? In the first two realms, you're still going to see him as a man. But when you come here, you're going to really see who he is, the Son of God. Okay? And drawing near to the ship, and they were afraid. You know what scares you? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. They saw him as God, which they should have seen, but they couldn't see until they get near this third covenant. Okay? This is the parable. This is all metaphor, right? It's a parable. So they're learning. God's telling you, when you come to this place of the third day, guess what? You're going to begin to see who God really is in humanity, and there's going to be a fear fall on them. You can go back into the Old Testament, and when the people didn't want God, what'd they do to Moses? Moses, you go talk to him. And whatever he says, and that's what we'll do. They were lying through their teeth. They were afraid to face God. Is it any different today? People are afraid to face God. If God would show up in most churches, the walls would look like a screen door from the people Baal, the devil, because it didn't meet their criteria. He didn't come in dressed the way that they think that you should be dressed, or didn't talk the way that they should talk. See, they all have ideas and images in their mind of what God is, but they're not true. God is none of the things people think he is. God is spirit. And I don't think anybody understands that hardly. Very few people understand him. But he said to them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Now, what's he saying? He spoke to them. Once you recognize God, when you come close to this third covenant of tabernacles, okay, star covenant, guess what? You're going to start to recognize Jesus or the Christ for who he really is. And you're going to be afraid, and he's going to say to you, fear not. It's I. See, God's nothing to be afraid of. God is love. Then what part of love are you afraid of? Hello? What part of love are we to be afraid of? Nothing. He's not going to hurt you. And they willingly received him into the ship. Now, what's the ship? It's a vessel. It's you. They willingly received him into themselves. Okay? And immediately, what happened to the ship? Where did it go? It went to the dry land, right? It crossed over humanity, and where did it go? To the land. How about the promised land? How about the promised land, which is no more than the mind of Christ? When you receive, truly receive Christ in you, then where are you going to be drawing your resources from? Christ in you. And guess what? That's the mind of Christ. That's what Garden of Eden was all about. It was the mind of Christ. That's all it was. It's all in symbolism. Okay. And the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one wherein the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but his disciples were gone alone. What day was it? The people on the other side of the shore still looking in what day? Second day. That's your Pentecostal experience. See, they're still across on the other side. Christ is on the other side. He went on over. There's always some going to be staying back watching. Watching from Pentecost, talking about the third day, but they never crossed the river. They never crossed the body of water. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias near to the place where they did eat after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore knew that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also entered into a boat. It says took shipping. They entered into a boat and came to Capernaum. Again, what's Capernaum? Place of comfort or repentance. When they realized Jesus wasn't there, what'd they do? They went looking for him. When you go looking for him, there's something going on in your heart. Repentance. See the change? When you go looking for Christ, when you go looking for God, you're looking for a reason. Because God has already done something in your life. You've already looked at him. You've willingly received him. And now there's something going on in your life. You're looking for God to clear your heart. Peace is going to come in your life because you're looking for the repentance in your life. Okay? And so they went to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea of humanity, they said to him, Rabbi or teacher, how'd you get here? You didn't take a boat. Well, where's his source and supply? He's trying to teach us something. Our source and supply is not in this human realm. It's not in this natural realm, is it? Our supply is in Christ. He's supplied all of our riches, all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. In Christ is where we're finding it. He's trying to show you, I'm drawing everything I have from my Father. Right? What are we supposed to do? We shouldn't have to struggle for this thing. It shouldn't be that hard. But religion has got us so tied up, we get pretty bound up. So they said, how'd you get here? And Jesus responded to them and said, verily, verily, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but you did eat the loaves that were filled. So what food are they after? Natural or spiritual? That right there tells you why most people go to church, because they put out great feeds. Most churches, you go to them, and when they have a dinner, they got the best food you can find in the county. Isn't that the truth? They're not going there because of the word the preacher preaches. Because most of them say, would you hurry up? We got a dinner going. They're going, look at the watch. Come on. Look at the clock up there. It's time to go eat. We was in a church years ago. The old guy's dead, so don't make any difference. I ain't going to say his name anyway. Stanley was his first name. That's good enough. He actually stood up in the middle of the service and said, hey, Pastor, it's 12 o'clock. The Baptists are getting ahead of us. It's Bob Evans. Didn't he? He absolutely did it. He said, it's about long enough now. It's been going 35, 40 minutes. Seriously. See? Who was running the show? Huh?
His belly
was running the show. See, he was after the food, not after the true miracles, not after the Christ himself. Labor not, he said, for the food which perishes, but for that meat, that food which endures into. If you eat of him, didn't he just say, if you eat my flesh, you'll never hunger again? So he gives this to you. When you come to him and begin to feed from him spiritually, guess what? You'll never hunger again because he's your supply. Which the Son of Man gives to you, because this has God the Father, this one has... Okay, say it again. These words in the King James are messed up. Because this has God the Father sealed. Now, what that word sealed really mean? There you go. This has God promised or covenanted to you. This is His promise to you. He said, I'm going to send Him to you. Here He comes. Here He is. What are you going to do with Him now that He's here? See, no one knows what to do with Him. They don't believe that God has provided all things for them. I believe He has. Then said they to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Did he say anything about working? Where'd that come from? See, everybody wants to work and earn something. This is not about what you earn by works or anything else. The only reason we have anything from God is because he loves us and wants to provide for us. Nothing else. Just because he's God, he wants to provide. And Jesus responded and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe not on, but it's the Greek word eis, into. I believe into him who has sent him. You have to believe into him. I got to believe into Christ, not believe that there is a Christ. James said it very well. The demons and devils believe and tremble. Okay? You got to believe into. It's not about believing there's a God, but believing what God said. There's the essence of what he's trying to tell us. We got to believe what God said. He sent him here for us. I mean, he didn't need that, did he? We need it. He did it for us. So we have to believe. This is the work of God, that we believe the one that he has sent. They said therefore to him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What do you do? The word work should be do. What do you do? What do you do that's going to convince me that you're the man of God? That's what they're asking. Do you have to perform like a trained seal for people? I feel sorry for people in the Pentecostal and Passover realm. They have to perform for people. I can come in here and I don't have to perform. I don't have to dress in a three-piece suit. I don't have to do anything. All I'm doing is come here and tell you the truth. You want some in white robes? Go to a palace. But that's not for me. My palace is living for God, doing His work, and that's telling the truth. It's real simple. Just tell the truth. But you know what? It's hard to tell when you don't know it. So that's why most people make it up. Oh, my goodness. So they say, what do we do? What do you do? He said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're saying, this is their view. They said, look, God even gave us a sign back here in the Old Testament. Well, hello, symbols and types and shadows, metaphors. See, it's all about shadows and types. That's what the Old Testament was about, shadows, types. It was metaphors, theophanies, Christophanies, those things. It was all in symbolism. And they're still looking as a natural view under the law. See, God did that for them back here. Now you've got to do the same thing for us. God can do what he wants to do. See, we don't dictate to God what he has to do. God already set a plan out before the foundation of this world, and it's just being fulfilled now. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. He's saying, Moses gave you manna, but it was manna that just fell out of the sky. Heaven isn't up. Heaven's inside of you. He said, I'm giving you the true thing from the Spirit from within you. I'm going to give you the truth. He said, I am that truth, see? I am that bread that come to you. He said, the true bread from heaven, from the Spirit. Because the bread of God is, this is what it says. It says, he which should be, because the bread of God is the one that comes down from the Spirit realm and gives life to the world. The one that comes from the Spirit realm, there's the one that brings the life to the world. He said, there's the key right there. Then said they to him, Lord, not evermore, but at all times or always give us this bread. Well, that's easy to say. How many people receive it? And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. You think they understood what he was saying? They had no clue. I've heard people over the years preach this and say, all them disciples, they knew what he was talking about. No, they didn't. They didn't have a clue. It was not yet time. They didn't understand. They didn't understand when he, well, we'll see here in just a minute what he went on. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The one that comes to me shall never hunger. See, if we go partake of his bread, his life, will never hunger. And he that believes not on, but into me shall never thirst. But I say to you, I say to you that you also have seen me and believe not. Who was he talking to? Well, I thought them were faithful men. He said, you've seen me and don't even believe it. They were just following because of miracles and because of the food. Okay? That's not what it's about. He said, you've seen me. You've laid your eyes on the Son of God and don't believe. And you know what? You'll have people today say, oh, if I was back here, I'd never do that. He's showing you that's what you're doing now. You see the Son of God walking in flesh and you don't acknowledge it. Come on. You don't acknowledge it. Oh, my. That you also have seen me and believe not. All who the Father gives me shall come to me. Now, whose choice is that? Did he say everybody that asks me to forgive them will come to me? He said, all the Father gives me shall come to me. And the ones that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, you hear this all the time. Oh, anybody that comes to Jesus, he will never cast you out. He said, all that the Father give me is the ones I'm not going to cast out. Hello. Because I can show you all through shadows and types. Remember when Peter was sitting down, they took all that great catch of fishes and they sorted them out and they throwed some back and they kept some. Through the Old Testament, they were sifting all the time. What's the threshing floor all about? Sifting the wheat. Getting rid of the bad grains and keeping the good ones. Getting rid of the chaff and keeping the good grain. There's always a sifting going on in God's kingdom. Always. Okay. Verse 38, he says, because, he said, I will no wise cast the ones out that come from the Father give me, because I descended from heaven or the spirit realm not to do my own will, but the will of the one that sent me. Hello? What's our job? Do the will of the Father. And what did he say the work of the Father was? Believe into him. Real simple. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, the word shouldn't even be there, I lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. Now, you know what day that is? The third day. The final day is the third day, okay? That's what it's saying, in the last day. Jesus was resurrected on what day? Well, if he was resurrected and he's the pattern son, guess what day I'm going to get resurrected on? When I come to this third covenant, this tabernacles covenant, this star covenant, third day, all the different ways you want to see it, that's when I'm going to be resurrected. That's when we're going to be raised up. And he said he would raise you up in the final day, and that's the third day. Simple as that. So all you got to do is come to what? The third day, the third realm. You've got to come to that Mount Zion experience. the highest mountain of Jerusalem, the highest realm of it. That's all we got to do. When you get there, he'll take care of the rest of it. Oh, beautiful things. And because this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes into him, now these next two words are wrong. It says may have, uh-uh. The word is possess.
Verse 40.
And everyone that believes into him possesses. Not may have. May has means maybe. Right? There ain't no maybe about what I possess in my life. I possess the life of God, and so do you. If you doubt it, do you believe you really have it? Huh? Doubt is the opposite of what? Do what?
If you doubt it, you don't have it.
You don't have it, see? Doubt is the opposite of faith. So, everyone that believes into him possesses the life of the ages. Aeonious life, the life of the ages. And I will raise him up in the last or the third or the final day. You come to the third day, that's the final day. Guess what? He's going to raise you up. It's nothing about what you're doing. It's not about work. It's not about effort. It's about accepting what he has already finished. What was the last words he said before he left, Bob?
It's finished.
When are we going to believe that he did what he did? Isaiah 55 says, my word will not return void, but it shall accomplish what I sent it there to do. And he is the what? The word. Did he do it? I think he did. No, I know he did. I won't think about it. Verse 41, and the Jews then murmured concerning him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven, from the spirit realm. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Is there any respect for that man? The prophet has no honor in his own country. How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven or the spirit realm? See, they're looking with the carnal mind. And carnally minded is what? Death. To be carnally minded is death. See, they're still living in the death realm. Jesus therefore responded and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me unless the Father which has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Hello. What kind of a commitment can you make to Jesus? He said, no man can come to me unless the Father which has sent me draws that man. Hello. That blows the dickens out of their church doctrine. Make a commitment. Make a decision for somebody. You ain't making no decisions. This ain't about you. It's about him. And it's his purpose and his will that will prevail. It has nothing to do with what religion is set up as a doctrine. And he said, I will raise him up in the third day. Let me read you a verse, okay? Out of 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Just a second till I get there. Okay, come on, Dave, hurry up. Chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus hath the Lord, saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I shall heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. What day are you going up to the house of the Lord? Let me read you another one. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Hosea chapter 6, right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. I'll read verse 1 to go with it. Come, let us return unto the Lord, because he has torn. Who tore? The Lord. And he will heal us. He has smitten us, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his not sight but presence. It's the Hebrew word panim. He will raise you up in his presence. Hello? Remember what I said? After 2 days, 1, 2, 10, 20. After 2 days in here, he's going to revive you. See? 25. And when you get to the 30, to the third realm, he's going to raise you up. Simple as that. Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, let's go back to John again. Where are we at? John.
David Moses.
Sure, go ahead.
On that first verse of chapter 6.
Yep. Go ahead.
Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn.
Yes.
So that he may heal us.
Yes. There's another. God does everything. See, everybody tries to say the negative is the devil doing something and the positive is God doing something. God is behind the whole thing. In Isaiah, he says, I have created the waster to destroy. You hear what I'm saying? He creates the negative. He said, if I don't kill, how are you ever going to come back to life? See, I can't resurrect you till you die. And if I have to do it, so be it. Because the end of it's going to be better for you if I go ahead and kill you so I can raise you up. That's all. You got to cross the River Jordan, the river of death. Okay? Now, where am I at? 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. How many? Who's going to teach you? Not me teaching you. It's the Spirit of God that's going to teach you, and it's the Spirit of God in you. And when you and I come on the same page and I speak something and something jumps inside of you, that's the Spirit of God teaching you. It's not me. It's the Spirit of God. Okay? Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father does what? They come to Christ. What do you think this is all talking about when it said that in verse 45? They shall all be taught of God. You know what I hear when I hear that? I hear the new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31 says, I will make it, the day will come when I will make a new covenant. You know what day that is? The third day. I will make the covenant. I will write in your heart. I will place it within you. I will be your God. You will be my sons and daughters. And I will forgive your sins and iniquities. And remember them no more, says the Lord. And then the next verse, 31, 33 says this. And you'll have no need for every man to say, know the Lord, because every man shall know the Lord from the greatest to the least, says the Lord. Okay. There's the covenant. It's also in Hebrews 8 and 10. It's in John 6, 45. In Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33. Same place, same thing. Okay? I hear the new covenant just ringing all through this. 46, verse 46. Not because any man has seen the Father except the one which is of God. He has seen the Father. Who is he talking about? Christ. Not one person, a corporate man, a many-membered body, the Christ. Not one person named Jesus. It's the Christ. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes into me has the life of the ages. Aeonious life. Aeonious Zoe is the two words. I am not that bread, but I am the bread of life. Now the word here, bread, is artos. It's a bread with leaven. It's a raised loaf. What is he speaking of? Resurrection. Resurrection. I am the resurrection bread. See? I am the resurrection of life. If we take of that bread of life that has life in it and take it within us, what we got? What have we got? Same thing. See, we've got it within us. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He's telling them about religion, ain't he? You want to eat that manna that made out of some kind of sweet stuff that melts in your mouth? Go ahead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Do you think he's talking about your flesh? Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die. There is no stopping this body from dying. And there's people running around preaching, what's the word again? Immortality, but the divine health. They're preaching divine health. Well, they're talking about this stuff. This is not divine. Flesh is flesh. It's dust, and it's going to return to the dust from where it came. Read Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. The dust returns to the dust from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, what else is there? There ain't no hell. There ain't nothing else. It's just that's where it's going. I'm going back to my Father, every one of us. Okay? But when I eat this bread, I will not die. I'll return to my Father. I am the living bread, he says, which came down from the spirit realm. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live into the ages. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Did he say for a few church folk that said, forgive me, Jesus? Wonder where they get this stuff at. He said he did it for the whole world, for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove or disputed or quarreled among themselves. That sounds right. Religion, that's all they do. They quarrel. They dispute one another among themselves. I tell you what, you can't go into church anywhere in this country and find two people that'll agree. Because if one wants to go north, the other will go south. If one goes west, the other will go east. If one goes down, they'll go up. They can't live any other way. Because the spirit of Ishmael and Isaac is alive in this country as much as any place else. Not just in the Mideast over where this war stuff they're being talked about. It hasn't got anything to do with it. It's inside of us. We're either Ishmaels or Isaacs. We're either spiritual sons or fleshly sons. Right? But they strove among themselves, quarreled, disputed among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Wonder where that thought process came from. I don't think they were very spiritual on this day, do you? They were digging in that carnal mind, in that dust pit. And then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What's he really saying? What's he really saying there? I'm not saying what he's saying in the natural. What's he saying by the Spirit in here? You must take in his life to possess his life. You have to eat me. You have to consume me. You have to take me in. You have to be willing to receive from him. John chapter 1 in the Gospel of John, not the little epistles of John, but the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 verse 12, what's it say? To all those that received him gave he power to be the sons of God. See? What do you got to do? Didn't say beg, did it? It said to all that receive him gave he power to be the sons of God. See? That's wonderful. To just receive him. I don't have to work nothing. Just receive it. It's a gift. Just be who you be. Verse 54, whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, or the life of the age, or possesses the eternal life, the life of the ages, and I will raise him up in the what? In the third day. Let me read you something out of Luke 13:32. I was right there and missed it. Luke 13:32. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. There's a pattern for us. In our Passover and Pentecostal experiences, we do the cures and miracles, and on the third day, you'll be perfected. Okay? Verse 55, because my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed to the Spirit. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live not by, but it's the Greek word dia, through. As I live through the Father, also that the one that eats me, even he shall live through me. So he's saying, I live through the Father, and the one that partakes of me and becomes intimate with me and becomes one with me, he's also going to live through me because I'm living through the Father. Sounds like he's making some more Christ there, doesn't it? Yeah. He's the vine, we are the vine, and he's the branch. He's the vine, we're the branches, hooked off to him. Okay? This is the bread which came down from heaven, the spirit realm. Not as your fathers did eat and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live, what? Forever, or into the aeon, to the ages, it should say. Ice aeon, into the ages. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Where was he at? He was in the city of, but the city of repentance. When you come to this place of repentance, you know what repentance means? It doesn't mean saying I'm sorry and slobbering and snotting on a board in front of a church someplace. It does not mean that. It means, I started to spit the word out. Metanoia is the word. And it means to change the way you think. See? What's that sound like to you? Putting on the mind of Christ. Doing away with my natural thinking and doing it with the mind of Christ. And it's only by partaking of this bread, this word of God that he has, that's the only thing that's going to change my mind. I can sing until the cows come home. I can dance. I can clap my hands. I can pray. I can fast. And ain't none of that's ever going to change my nature. None of it's ever going to change my nature. I've tried it. See, when I got the end of my rope, I give up, and then God began to do things. When I quit trying to do all these things that people told me I had to do. A man told me one time when I was seeking after the baptism of the Spirit, well, I read this book, and he said, you know, I was in the kitchen at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's where it happened. So every morning, 9 o'clock, you know where I was at? In the kitchen, trying to talk in tongues. Didn't work. I tried everything. I tried fasting. I starved myself nearly to death for 6 months. Out of 180 days, I fasted 90 days. I like to starve myself. It didn't change one thing. Just a couple notches in my belt went up tighter. That's all. Didn't change anything inside of me. And finally, one night, I just got fed up. And I had taught a Bible study. We started at 7 o'clock, and it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when everybody left. And Lois went to bed, and she was exhausted. And I went in the living room and sat down and started talking to Father, and I said, I've had it with you. I'm laying hands on people, and they're receiving the baptism. They're praying in tongues, and I'm sitting here looking stupid. Nothing's working. I'm never talking to you again until I talk to you in my heavenly language. And the next morning, I get up, and that was about 3 o'clock in the morning when I went to bed. About 9 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and she was still in bed. And I get up, and I go to the bathroom, and I'm sitting there on the throne of all unholy places, and it just began to flow. And you know, there it was. I didn't do anything. I just give up. And God gave me my heavenly language. And from that time on, it's there. Right? Didn't have to work for it. But I had to quit doing something. I just had to let God do what he wanted. Had to let Dave get out of the way. Okay? Verse 60, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Right? Who can hear it? Okay? What's he saying? Who can hear it? Who can hear it? The ones that have ears to hear. And that's only the blessed ones. In verse 61, he goes on and says, but Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured concerning it. He said to them, does this offend you? Hey, he wasn't talking about some yahoo down the street. He was talking about his disciples. He said, does this offend you? You remember what Jesus said to John the Baptist when John the Baptist sent his messengers to him, his disciples? He said, are you the one that should come, or should we look for another one? Jesus didn't answer that. He gave him an answer, though. He said, you go tell John that you see these miracles being done. But he said one more little thing at the end of it. And he just kind of threw that in as an extra. Didn't charge him for it. He said, and blessed is he that's not offended in me. You know what John was? He was offended because he was sitting in jail. And he said, hey, I'm the one that cleared the path. I made everything straight for him. And what am I doing in jail? John, you prophesied your own death. I must decrease and he must increase. Didn't even hear yourself when you spoke it. I got to get out of the way so Christ can do his job. I got to go and get out of the way. Hello? He didn't even know he prophesied his own death. That's the way it is. Sometimes we don't listen to what we say ourselves. A lot of people get offended about the truth. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where He was before? It is the Spirit that what? Literally revitalizes. The flesh profits nothing. Oh, that's going to bust a lot of bubbles. They're all trying to fluff and buff this flesh, and the book says very clearly, the flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of God. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Oh my God. The disciples didn't believe. Jesus said that. Well, that was awful rude of Him, wasn't it? Yeah. He just asked him up there in 61, said, does this offend you, what I've said? Well, hang on, here comes some more. You don't believe anything. Because Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. He knew from the beginning. Do you think it's any different today when someone is walking full of the Spirit of God, you think they have no discernment to know who is and who isn't? But see, that's not a gift so you can point fingers at someone and say, ah, ha, ha, I know who you are. It's for your own benefit. It's for you to minister through. It's a way to help somebody, not to condemn somebody. I can see many people's weaknesses, but that's not to hurt them with it. You think Jesus couldn't see every one of them up and down the street? But He only did what His Father told Him to do. And He had the ability to see their problems. How many times did He say He knew what they were doing before they said anything? He had the ability to see that by the Spirit so He could deal with it. But He never hurt anybody with it, but He did tell the truth. And that's something I get shot at a lot for. They say I'm picking on people. I'm picking on churches. I'm saying things negative about the church. Jesus called the religious people of the day, the church leaders of the day, snakes, vipers, hypocrites, liars, and thieves. And if I go in and tell that to some preacher, they'll be so mad they all stone me to death. Now that's what He said. Literally what I said before when He said, you're a bunch of snakes, your daddy was snakes, and your children are snakes. And see, that makes them mad. Well, it's the truth. And the truth is all I need to hear. See, if you've got truth, tell me truth. That's all I want to hear. And if the truth is I'm something wrong, then tell me the truth. But see, I don't get condemned over anything. If I find something wrong, I'll correct it. But, you know, personal opinion has nothing to do with this. My likes and dislikes have nothing to do with this. Because Dave wouldn't do a lot of things he does under the unction of the Spirit. I do a lot of things I wouldn't do if it was Dave. Because I know some of the things I say get under a lot of people. But that's okay. If my Father gives it to me to say, I'll say it. There's a man used to come here. He said, you know, I for a long time I wondered why God chose you, but now I know. And I said, how's that? What do you know? And he said, I know why God chose you. And I said, well, just tell me about it. He said, because you're crazy enough to say anything He tells you. And I said, well, thank you. He said, I meant it as a compliment. He did say it. He said, you're crazy enough to say it. I said, well, I'm crazy about Him, so that's okay. Where am I at? 60 what? 4? 5. And He said, therefore said I to you, that no man can come to Me except it were given to him by or from My Father. No man can come to Christ without Father's amen or approval. Okay? And the church tries to say, you make a decision. This is not about any decision that we make. Whose decision is it, Bob? It's God's decision, see? So why do I care whether somebody hears me, don't hear me? You know, Noah preached for 400 years and never got anybody saved. All he did was took a few of his family on the ship. Jesus preached for 3.5 years, and he only had 12 people follow him. And didn't. And down here in verse 70, what's it say? Have I not chose you 12, and one of you is a devil? That cuts it to 11. There was 9 that didn't pay any attention. They always stayed at the bottom of the hill when anything was going on for crowd control, okay, with all the rest of the people, unbelievers. And Peter, James, and John was the only 3 that did anything really close to him, wasn't it? And Peter was always having his foot in his mouth. James was having problems too. And the only one that got close enough to lay their head here on his chest was who? John. So So guess who had the real revelation of the heart of God? John, because he heard the heartbeat of God when he got that close.